I love women. I was desperate for the revulsion. Ew, your brother's like so gross. But then I would ratchet up the charm, a perfect little gentleman. Aw, he's so sweet. Where'd you get those blue eyes, huh? In kindergarten, I told flat-out lies. I confessed that I was very sick, bathing in the concern of my classmates, and especially that of their mothers. God, sympathy was satisfying. One afternoon, my mom picked me up from school and my teacher said she hoped I would get better soon. My jig was up. You can't try to make people believe things that aren't true, my mom said afterward. But human pity was preferable to the distant regard my stuffed animals offered. They lined my bedroom shelves and did not bother to applaud my one-man shows, which I performed against the wooden footboard of my bed. No matter how loud I sang, they just stared back. Tough crowd. My imagination was wild and irrational. The first time my mom took me to the doctor for my blood to be drawn, for some unknown reason I thought everyone would be wearing Victorian garb, that I'd be auctioned off to the highest bidder in some antiquated display. I was so sad, thumbing through a booger-ridden Mr. Happy book in the waiting room, thinking it would be the last time I saw my mother. I was relieved that there ended up being no auction, but the drab gray room into which they led me, where two ladies told me I'd feel something like a bee sting, still wasn't half as cool as the Dickensian scenario I had imagined. Unsurprisingly, I cried. My sisters would get their hair done at a beauty parlor that had a huge painting on its front window of a woman with giant Medusa-like locks. Is that what you're going to look like? I remember asking just before they shut the backseat car door in my face. I was disappointed when they finally emerged from the salon, not with giant, freaky hairdos that could barely fit into the car, but with simple, feathered blowouts. If only it had been my salon, they would have looked like super vixens with ashen bushfires encircling their painted faces. Maybe that was why, when I was asked what I wanted to be when I grew up, the first thing I could think of was a hairdresser. I loved going to the barber with my dad, feeling like a big boy riding in the front seat. My first haircuts were from a vampy woman outside the Phoenix suburbs by way of sleepy desert side roads. She had long black hair and smoked as she cut, a cigarette clamped between her lips while I sucked on my binky. Later, my regular barber spot was in the entryway of a Smitty's grocery store. When I sat in the chair, a very tan, wrinkled man would ask me if I wanted the G.I. Joe or the Mr. T. Duh, the Mr. T. He had a mohawk. My dad, as if he believed the barber were serious, tapped his shoulder and said, "Just a regular cut is fine." I was crestfallen when we left. My hair looked like it always did. One day in a Stride Rite shoe store, an older, masculine woman wearing a polyester pantsuit found out I couldn't tie my own shoes. She showed me the bunny rabbit ear method, making two loops and twisting them around each other. Suddenly, I could tie them myself. I walked out of the store with a pair of lace-up Hot Wheels sneakers that she swore would make me run faster. On the playground, when I put them to test, it was total baloney. I ran no faster than I had in my old Velcro fastened shoes. It seemed that everywhere I went, someone was upselling a total dud. Whether it was some toy slime creature that didn't secrete like it had in the commercial, or Michael Jackson not actually performing in Captain EO at Disneyland. It was just a 3D movie of him that played all day long. The world was full of exaggerations. I felt gullible and often embarrassed at my expectations of real magic. Sometimes I thought people could read my overeager thoughts, and it humiliated me. I didn't understand what I saw on TV wasn't real. I stood paralyzed one Saturday afternoon, a dirty Cabbage Patch Kid dangling from my hand, as Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert reviewed Pink Floyd's The Wall. They showed a clip of school kids walking into a meat grinder and getting turned into sausage. Where was that grinder, and what would cause me to fall into it? The image was now branded on my psyche, but so was that song. I needed to hear it again. I found my mom in her bedroom and did the best rendition I could, hoping she'd be familiar with it. What did "We Don't Need No Education" mean? Soon after, she took me to a plush multiplex to see the musical Annie. I'd been singing Tomorrow to the secretary of my dad's office, to my friend's mom, to anyone who would listen. The movie theater had gigantic glass windows in the front, and inside, red and orange velvet curtains and patterned carpets that stank of butter. Every theater door was a mystery. Each one marked a new universe. But I was certain we would walk into the wrong theater and see something just as horrible as those kids falling into the meat grinder. Another time, my mother took me and my sisters to see Ghostbusters. As soon as the first specter popped out at the 5-minute mark, the fabric of my reality unraveled even further. I dragged my mom into the theater lobby and, of course, cried. We went shopping in the adjoining mall while my sisters finished the film,